As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's James and Wiggy.
Well, years ago, we talked to Tom Moore, then at Indianapolis, the offensive coordinator. You got a busted play here, and then ends. Sanchez gets hit. The ball is loose, and it's alive.
I have never seen this before in my life. Watch this. Vince Wilfork is going to throw Brandon Moore back into his quarterback. He's going to fumble the football. This is what Reggie White used to do to people, forklift them and just lift them off the ground. Mark Sanchez not expecting it, and it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
For Mark Sanchez, it's run the football. Obviously, when you're in backed up like this, it's quick game. Bootlegs, get him outside the pocket, and no butt fumbles.
On Sports Radio, WEEI.
All right, so we play that, which, you know, I guess he had to make it official. Mark Sanchez officially announced his retirement from the NFL.
Wow.
I think the NFL retired him years ago, but...
He's been getting paid. He's been robbing them for the past couple
of
years.
He has been. He's joining ESPN now. So is it going to be... it should be as a college analyst, not an NFL guy. Is he going to be an NFL analyst?
I believe college.
Good. Good, because I mean, an NFL analyst, dude, you're thought of as the butt fumble guy. Sorry.
Yeah, but what's that mean, though?
Whatever.
I mean, he has the Jets going 13-3 this year, by the way.
I mean, it's ESPN.
Although I will say
there's
this...
There's only a handful of guys that actually do a good job.
9 years ago... He came in here to Foxborough, and he out-dueled Brady in a playoff game. 3 touchdowns, no picks.
I remember that one.
I'll never forget that.
And they had a couple weeks prior to that, they blew the Jets
out. They killed like 40-something to 3 or whatever. Oh, it was like ridiculous.
That was a bad year.
All right, so Wiggy and I are asking with this question. Tom Curran wrote about it on NBC Sports Boston. Brady or Belichick, who you got? I guess I wasn't shocked, but maybe a little surprised. Wiggy? Brady or Belichick, who you got? Why?
I'm going with, obviously, they're both great, you know. But if I had to pick one, I'm going with Tom Brady. And the reason why I'm going with Tom Brady, you know, you think about this. You look at what is the most important thing with building a franchise when you're talking about building a team is one position, and that's a quarterback position. We talk about
that. Most important position in sports.
Yeah, we talk about how important that position is because, you know, you're down by 4 points. It's a minute, 10 seconds on the clock. You have no timeouts. You got to make sure your quarterback can put together a drive that puts you in a position to have a chance to win the football game. Tom Brady has done that year in and year out. He's shown that he could do that at the most, you know, fueled pressure situations. And I'm not taking nothing away from Belichick, but to me, when you're on that field, it's one thing to call the play, and now you need the players to make sure that they are able to take that call and go out there and do their job and execute. That's why when you look at Brady, him being on that field and him being able to not put the team in a position where they, A, lose a game, or B, where he needs to make the play so they can win the game. I just think that I got to give the edge, and it's not by much. I got to give the edge to Brady because I would rather have that quarterback, and I feel like I could find a decent coach that can, you know, put everything else together.
It's a tough question. Obviously, you can't have one without the other, but I have to go with Tom Brady, TB12, because, number one, well, how did to get my numbers straight on this? So Bill Belichick's all-time career record with Cleveland and here in New England without Tom Brady as starting quarterback is 50 wins and 56 losses. He has a losing record, Wiggy. He's 50-56. Mm-hmm. Now, he was 5-11 in 2000, which was your first year and his first year here in 2000 without Brady. He was 11-5 in 08 with Matt Castle. And he was 3-1 in 2016 when Brady was suspended for Deflategate.
Yep.
So you put that. Now, without Brady in New England, Bill Belichick's record is 19-17. So he's two games above 500, barely above 500.
Right.
Without him, including Cleveland, with Bernie Kosar and Vinny Testaverde, he's at an all-time here in New England, 50-56. Without Tom Brady, you don't beat the Rams. You don't beat the Panthers. You don't beat the Eagles the first time. You sure as hell don't beat the Seahawks or the Falcons. Without Bill Belichick, does a coach put Malcolm Butler in, who played 98% of the defensive snaps in that game? Does he find a way to stop Nick Foles? You know, so there's that. Brady left Super Bowl 42, 18-0, on the verge of being 19-0 after throwing what should have been the game-winning touchdown pass to Randy Moss. And instead, Bill Belichick, or you can blame it on Romeo Crennel, he put Ellis Hobbs on an island against Plaxico Burress, which is the equivalent of putting Andy Hart versus Plaxico Burress. It's a mismatch. It was like putting Bagel Guy out on an island versus Plaxico Burress. And so for that,
but then you also have to factor in, think about this, how many times have we talked about around here where, like, Bill, put some people around Brady.
Exactly.
Get a defense. Do this.
What do you mean, take it down? And you're acting like I committed mass shooting or something.
Well, you think about this. I can't remember what year it was, but one year they made a Super Bowl run, and their defense was like 30th in the league, but their offense was the offensive always
2011.
Was it 2011?
Yep.
Their offense was like top two or number one, yep, or whatever it might have been. You look at Brady has been able to do it without those elite superstar players on either side of the football.
And excusably, Wiggy, 2006, 21-3 lead in the first half against the Colts on the road. You had Rashay Caldwell, Jabbar Gaffney, Doug Gabriel. You had a fat Corey Dillon, Lawrence Maroney. You had nobody around them, and they couldn't hold the lead because their defense sucked then,
right,
too. So there was that. So, yes, Brady has not been put. Following year, offseason, Randy Moss, Dante Stallworth, Wes Welker. Let's go. Let's go. So that was a different thing. 617-779-7937. Who's been more important to the Patriots' success, Brady or Belichick? Harold in a car. Thanks for holding. What's up, Harold?
Hey, you guys. So I'm going to go against the grain a little bit here, and it's a little tough for me because my gut tells me Brady. You know, he's obviously the greatest quarterback of all time. But a few points you guys raised were, you know, the caliber of player that was surrounding Brady through many of those years.
Yeah, like, think about it, Harold. Harold, think about this.
Oh, yeah, no, I hear it.
Yeah. If Tom Brady came into the league and was surrounded by guys who ended up becoming future Hall of Famers like Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, and eventually Edgerrin James. I mean, come on. Tom Brady.
But I see it like this. Bill Belichick has been, you know, he as all that Tom Brady has been responsible for, he was one of those guys at the beginning of his career, almost a diamond in the rough. Belichick takes these guys, wins the Super Bowl with them, and most of them leave. They want big money, and he won't re-sign them. He'll go find another guy, you know, a no-namer, and hope to find one of those diamond-in-the-rough type guys. I don't know who else would have signed Brady and came across the greatest quarterback of all time like Belichick did. Not giving all the credit to Belichick either.
Well, that was more Scott Pioli. Scott Pioli happened again. And Scott Pioli will say this too, Wiggy.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to credit us with taking Brady. We passed him the first five rounds like every other team.
Right.
So don't give us too much credit. If we knew he was going to be this good, we would have taken him earlier.
Right. Of course they would. And I always look at it like this, right? I always look at when you talk about Tom Brady, you're talking about Bill Belichick. How good do you think the Patriots would have been this last year if, let's call it, Patrick Mahomes was the quarterback, or Drew Brees, or Aaron Rodgers, or Philip Rivers, any one of those guys? I think they'd be all right. You think they'd win the Super Bowl?
With who?
With Mahomes, Brees,
do you think
Rodgers,
the Patriots would?
Rivers. I'm asking you.
With the team they had last year.
With the team they had last year.
I do not.
Right. Now, imagine putting Tom Brady on.
With Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas or Tyreek Hill,
right,
and Travis Kelce, they'd win it.
And then I would ask the question. I think Belichick, if you had Belichick coaching the L.A. Chargers of last year, I think the team would be good. But I don't know if that team would win the Super Bowl.
I think actually that's a different story. I think Belichick could get them to win the Super Bowl. I do. I really do. I think now, could he prevent Phillip Rivers from making mistakes in the playoffs?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, that's, I don't know. Nobody's been able to stop. No, Marty Schottenheimer. Nobody's been able to stop this guy from making North Turner.
But that's why I kind of make that analogy.
But you look at this. You look at Tom Brady, and you were on the field for this. Wiggy. You look at the Super Bowl win over the Rams, the St. Louis Rams, Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk. His backfield was Antoine Smith, Kevin Faulk, Patrick Pass, and J.R. Redmond. I mean, are you kidding me? That's a joke. He didn't.
Well, Antoine Smith was pretty good. He was coming from Buffalo.
He was okay.
And he was 1,000-yard rusher when he was at Buffalo.
He was okay.
And defensively, we had a pretty good team. We had some good players.
Yeah,
on
but
the
then you had David Patton, Troy Brown, and you for pass catchers. No offense, Wiggy, you're not Gronk.
I'm pretty close. Yeah. It's pretty close. You're no Jim Rome, but hey.
You're right. And by the way, my paycheck would back that up. You're
pretty
absolutely right.
Close. But when you think about defensively and you look at the team defensively, you talk about Willie McGinnis, Teddy Bruschi.
Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy.
So there was a lot of, right. And I think Brady and that first
Hey, Brian
year.
Cox wasn't bad at the time.
Yeah,
right.
And Brian Cox.
This is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Mark James.
Thank you, John.
I think the difference was, you know, that early Super Bowl, Brady was, you had to make sure that you had a quarterback that didn't make those bad decisions.
Right. Don't forget to Bucky Jones.
Right. You know, he was one of those from a hard hitting New Britain.
Yeah.
Right?
Richard Seymour, also a Hall of Famer, eventually will get in.
So I was on the team. I remember the guys.
Right. You do.
So when you think about that, you look at, you know what? Hey, they were very talented players. The quarterback, you had to make sure he wasn't making the poor decisions. And when he needed to make the plays, he was able to make the plays. And I think that's what Brady did early in his career, but then he just kind of evolved into.
Yeah,
I think you could put him on any team. I'm just sitting here and looking at it, and look at every team in the NFL, like the division leaders or playoff teams. You put Brady on that team, I think you can make the argument that team could be the Super Bowl favorite. I don't think you could do the same thing with Bill Belichick.
Ooh, that's a good. I don't know. It depends what kind of quarterback you would have for Belichick.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The teams that they're constructed. Let's say you put Belichick on the Baltimore Ravens of last year.
No, they wouldn't win the Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson.
Right.
No,
if you put Brady on the Baltimore Ravens,
I don't think they they'd be contender. I don't know if they win it at all. I just don't know. Stefan in Rhode Island's up next. Stefan, what's up?
What's up, fellas? I mean, I just have to say that I think you guys are really underestimating the job that Bill Belichick does and the virtuosos that the defense plays and all of the times that Tom Brady's out winning these Super Bowls. Like, just even last year, I mean, the one against the Rams. The Rams were running through teams, and then they catch up against a Bill Belichick defense, and then they couldn't do anything. Like, I just feel like even back in the day when Peyton Manning was coming in AFC Championship games, we had Peyton Manning solve.
Oh, you had him on lock, Stefan. You had him on lock.
Yeah, I don't think we're down.
You had the cheat code on Peyton Manning.
Well, I don't think they're downplaying what Bill Belichick is, but if you had to make a decision, Stefan, you're building the perfect franchise, and the owner says to you, either I want Bill Belichick or I want Tom Brady. Can only take one.
Who do you take,
Steph? Bill Belichick.
Really?
10 out of 10.
Wow.
Because Bill Belichick, he's literally like, he's the godfather. He puts all the pieces together. He makes a Malcolm Butler play better.
He finds the Malcolm Butler.
Now, I will say this, Wiggy.
And then that Malcolm Butler has to be able to perform.
So, Stefan, here's the double-edged sword on Brady Belichick. I'm glad you brought up Malcolm Butler. Now, we're going to obviously think first and foremost about the Eagles Super Bowl 2 years ago where he benched him. But how about the Super Bowl 2 years prior to, or excuse me, 4 years prior to that, whatever, 3 years, whatever it was, against Seattle where they practiced. They practice all the time the goal line defense and going into that game of Russell Wilson possibly throwing at the goal line instead of handing off to Marshawn Lynch. They practice it so Belichick, in that situation, put his team in a position to win. However, Stefan, that the Patriots were down by 10 or 11 points going into the fourth quarter. It was the largest fourth quarter coming back. Remember, it was 2 years prior to the Atlanta game. So Brady led them back, and so it's Brady and it's a combination.
Well, see, I agree.
The great thing that Bill Belichick does, and I've been around a lot of coaches in my career, the thing that really gives him the edge, in my opinion, is when you look at his attention to detail, but also preparing you for certain situations that you might think will never arise, and he prepares you and puts you in those situations. So when they do happen, you're like, uh-oh, I've seen this before in practice, and now you can just go out there and react.
Yep.
And I think that's the thing that Belichick does better than any coach.
I didn't think, you know, he's one of the greatest Red Sox players of all time. He's calling in. Fred Lynn is calling in. He wants to weigh in on Brady Belichick. Or is it Fred Frumlin?
Fred Frumlin.
I was hoping it was Fred Lynn.
Yeah, either way, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, what's up, Fred Frumlin? It says Fred Lynn. I was hoping it was actually him.
Listen, Wiggy.
Yep.
I gotta tell you, you have become probably my favorite on-air personality at DEI.
Oh, now you're really glad I snuck this one in.
I appreciate that, Fred Frumlin.
But I gotta tell you, man, am I surprised at you today.
All right.
Because every time I hear this argument arise, and it's, I get it. It's a content filler because we're not into the preseason yet and they don't have anything else to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it generates phone calls like mine. But when I hear this argument arise, all I can think of is that somebody who knows how to play football and has played the game would understand that it's a completely specious argument. Tom Brady has developed into the player he is under the tutelage and direction of Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was lucky and probably also intelligent enough to make the picks, but he was given a gift in Tom Brady.
Yes.
And there's no way in a team sport like football, where there's so much parity and there are so many stars and there are so many great coaches, there's no way in a sport like football where you can say Bill Belichick is more valuable than Tom Brady, or Tom Brady is more valuable.
So what do you think, Fred? Ultimately, what do you, who's more valuable then?
I don't agree. I think it's
he said that. Yeah, Fred said
equal.
Yeah,
equality.
He said there. I understand what you're saying, Fred, but the way I'm looking at it is, it's like this, right? The way I look at it is, of course, you're talking about, you know, Bill and Tom. They go together like, you know, peanut butter and jelly. You
milk
know what
and
I mean?
Cookies.
Yeah, like cheese.
Method Man and Mary J. Blige.
Like Kool-Aid and sugar.
Right.
They go together. It's like, you know, one without the other, it just doesn't work. You know what I mean? Hennessy and Coke don't work. Hennessy and Pepsi. So, but the thing when you look at Brady, and you know, if we're in this discussion, it, to me, it's about that guy on the field, right?
Yeah.
And coaches will tell you. Coaches coach, players play.
And let me ask you this: who makes the pass to Jermaine Wiggins to set up Adam Vinatieri's field goal? Not Belichick, Brady.
Actually, Wiggy makes that play.
But then who threw it to you?
I mean, anybody could have threw me.
Okay. Well, all right. Who makes it when you were on on the opposing team 2 years later against Carolina, and you had a chance to possibly win it after John Casey kicks the ball out of bounds. Brady leads him down.
Yes.
Who let him on the drive against the Eagles, against the Seahawks,
right?
Against Atlanta, down 28-3.
The point that I was making was that, you know, coaches were always telling you, "Okay, coaches coach, players play." At the end of the day, we can only coach you and prepare you, but you got to be able to go out there, execute, and do it.
And at the end of this segment, we have trending right now.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Producers produce.
Yeah. On-air personality.
It's like Suge Knight said, the 95 Source Awards. You want to come with a producer? Not all
it's like
the
having
videos,
ham,
dancing.
No burger.
Yep. This hour brought to you by, for trending, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, who's helped thousands lose their weight and, more importantly, keep that weight off you. Their transformations at Awaken180WeightLoss.com. You know what Curtis can do, John?
What can he do?
It next hour with Dale I'm sure Dale will love that. Let's do it next hour.
Trending?
Yeah. Well, he could say, you know, he could do his little thing. Now it's time for trending. That'll be Dale will love that. Red Sox beat the Rays last night 9-4. They were up 8-0, and they ended up coasting 9-4. E-Rod pitched 7 innings, struck out 6. Game 2 of the 3-game series. Joe Castig.
Oh, no longer the bloatation.
Oh, they still blow. and you got Joe Castig, Josh Lewin right here on the WEEI Red Sox Radio Network pregame at 6:10. Game will start at 7:10. Chris Sale on the mound.
Chris Frail.
It's Chris Frail. He's weak, but he's not
fit. We'll find out.
Well, he was Chris Frail for 3 starts in a row. He gave him 15 earned runs prior to last game. Patriot players set to report to training camp tomorrow. Their first scheduled practice is Thursday at 9:15 in Foxborough. 6 members of the team will start the camp on the pup list. Al Horford said, quote, "The Celtics tampering accusations against the Sixers are kind of ridiculous," which I would concur with that. Marcus Smart's been reportedly added to Team USA. He joins Jaylen Brown on the training camp roster. More of Wiggy and James in your phone call, 617-779-7937 after this.
93.7 FM WEEI.
Bill Belichick's full story is never given. When they talk about when Michael Vick came back after the dogfighting,
yeah.
Every time they mention his name, well, you know he was involved in the dogfighting scandal and went to jail. Every time. Bill Belichick can never be the greatest coach. There's a cloud there because of the way that they do their business. Someone's going to write a book and expose the New England Patriots. Tom Brady cheated. That they would go to the dumpsters and at the other opposing team hotel. You want to say Barry Bonds is a cheater, but you won't call Bill Belichick a cheater. Why not?
That was Rob Parker, who's with Fox Sports, and I don't think he took his medication that day.
No,
I don't think he took it last night. Yeah, I don't. Last night
his medication.
He actually took an Ambien. That was the issue.
Well, it would have been better than hearing what the garbage we just
heard. Might have been eating shrooms.
You know, it just people hate winners, Wiggy.
That's all it is. We know about the whole cheating thing. It's been going on forever. Right, the whole we got to the bottom of Spygate. We knew what that was. There was no cheating involved. It was not like, you know, that's the thing. Like, you know, he says going through the garbage and looking for. Yeah, people do that all the time. People manipulated footballs all the time. When you look at every team is looking for an edge, right? Mm-hmm. And does Bill push the rules a little bit? We've seen him do it with the formation, and that's what got Baltimore all upset. Wait a second. You know, he looks for maybe a gray area, and he pushes that. That's not cheating. That's just trying to be a good coach and looking for an advantage, right? And when you think about it, on the field, it's even like in the Rams thing, like to really think that we filmed their walkthrough and then taped their walkthrough.
Well, that was proven.
But you
false.
Still got to go out there and you got to perform.
Well, that's just it,
right? You know what I mean?
So
what if I know that this guy's going to be playing a certain? I still got to go out there and perform. Yeah, would it make my job a little bit easier? Yeah, it might, but I still got to go out there and perform.
Yeah, and that was proven false. Obviously, the Boston Herald had a major retraction on that John Tomasi story, which is proven false. Now, they got caught in the beginning of the 2007 season where they were doing what a lot of teams were doing, but they had a guy in a wrong place who was filming the Jets.
Right. Yeah, filming the sidelines.
Filming the sidelines. Mangini.
In front of 80,000 people.
It blew the whistle on them.
Right.
They got so they couldn't do it at halftime. They kicked the crap out of the Jets, and they proceeded after that game, after going 1-0, to win the next 17 games.
Right.
They're the only undefeated team to go 16-0 in NFL history in the regular season.
Right.
No one's and the only NFL team to go 18-0. No one's ever done that.
Right.
And it unfortunately ended with an L against the Giants in Super Bowl 42. But
we know what they did after Deflategate.
Right. Exactly.
So, how many Super Bowls they went after Deflategate?
Three.
Three Super Bowls after Deflategate. Oh,
yeah. Because it was after the Colts game. Yep. So they won against Seattle. They won against Atlanta.
All eyes were on them against Seattle for the footballs. I think even in that, we talked about it at length. I think in the Seattle game, the footballs were made sure they were at the proper pressure.
Of course.
They were under lock and key.
Those balls were deflated. Somebody had to do it.
And I think even the footballs came in on an armored truck. Into Seattle, like, so nobody could touch the footballs. If you touch the football and you weren't a Patriot or a Patriot player, I think it would have actually blown up. That's how much scrutiny they were under going into that game. And then Brady was suspended for four games. And then, you know, the all eyes were on Brady. He comes out. He has a tremendous season. They win another Super Bowl. We saw what he was able to do. Even though they lost the Super Bowl, we saw what he was able to do against the Eagles.
I
did not believe what Tom had to say.
If it wasn't for Nick Foles.
No, but I'm just saying what he was able to do throwing the football.
If it wasn't for Nick Foles' performance, even in a losing cause, Brady could have been the MVP.
I agree with that, but everything was like, oh, the reason why by having deflated footballs, he throws the ball better. Remember, that was the whole thing?
Right.
And so my point is, even though they lost the Super Bowl in that, look at his performance. It had nothing to do with the footballs being underdeflated or anything like that. It's just like you said, when you're a winner, people
hate
you.
Nobody hates the Jags. Nobody hates Arizona. 617-779-7937. Willie in Cranston wants to chime in on Rob Parker. What's up, Willie?
I absolutely hate Rob Parker. And the last time that you guys had him on EEI, I kept calling in trying to get on the phone with him. This guy is an idiot.
Right.
And we talk about how the Steelers and the Giants had deflated footballs in that game. But because the Steelers stink, nobody wants to talk about it. Can we talk about that, Rob Parker?
Yeah.
Right. Well, he's not going to do that. And when they had him on, too, I remember listening to it. I think he was on OMF, and it was like a giggle fest. Nah, man, you should have undressed this clown.
No, I know. It was a giggle fest. Yeah. It was a ha-ha-ha.
I told OMF, man, undress this dude.
Rob Parker did.
He does it for attention. And I was disappointed with all the calls because nobody ripped him. I would have ripped that guy.
Right.
I hate that guy.
You know, Willie, he's doing.
It's like Max Kellerman, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're double.
Now, granted, Brady did jump off a cliff, or he did fall off a cliff.
Willie, all he and Max Kellerman, all Rob Parker and Max Kellerman are doing right now are doubling and tripling down on being stupid. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. They're speaking about something that eventually will happen, and anybody can do that. It takes no skill to do that. They put these guys on ESPN, the front line, and they just talk about winners, and they talk junk, and that's all it is. They can't talk about the Steelers because they're no good. They won't talk about anybody else cheating. And it is what it is. You guys have a good one.
All right, Willie.
And the other problem is nobody really challenges them. That's the other problem. No one's really challenging Kellerman, and nobody's really challenging Rob Parker when they say these stupid things for the most part. Stephen A. Smith doesn't even, challenge him to like say, oh, yeah, Brady's fall. You know, this was like 4 years ago now that Brady was supposed to fall off this cliff.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's just, come on.
And he won the MVP, too, like, in 2017.
Right.
He won the MVP. Like, it's, was his season as good as it was a year ago? No.
No.
But the one thing about Tom Brady is that, it's a kind of, listen, you look at him now. So, the video that came out the other day, we can mention, that he and his six-year-old daughter, Vivian. Jumping off the cliff.
Yes. People, so Kellerman was right.
All right, this audio sucks.
No, they do it eventually.
That was horrible, John. What is going on here? I'm like waiting for it. Like, it sucks. Okay. It's something you need to see. But people were claiming Brady was irresponsible as a parent when both him and Giselle were both there. And Vivian was in good hands. She was in good hands.
Right.
But here's the thing. Tom Brady, he's looked better now than he did when he won the Super Bowl with you.
That's how I learned how to swim. He threw me right in the harbor.
Yeah.
My uncle said, you want to learn how to swim? Get in there. He didn't hold my hand either. So,
right.
I mean,
that's how they teach birds to fly.
Right, exactly. It's like, think about it. I think I saw somebody make a comment on social media. She was a little bit off on the snap count. It was 1, 2, 3, and then I was like, go. I don't want to go, but I do want to go.
She's okay. We can report she's okay.
We also can report, I think Brady was suspended for 14 games
for
that incident.
All right.
Roger Goodell's looking into it right now as we speak.
Wiggy, that's, by the way, that's, don't even joke, because you never know with this commissioner. Right. Don't even joke. John and Weymouth, you're up next. Go ahead, John. John.
Hello. Oh, John and Weymouth?
Yes, it's you.
Oh, hey, what's up, Wiggy?
What up?
I'm going to miss you guys, man. I am going to miss you guys on the 29th. But
keep listening.
I tried to undress Rob Parker.
Okay.
And he's just, nobody gets under my skin.
Clown.
Not Minahan, not Rima. I mean, but, he's just a clown. But I got to say that I would think that Brady, I mean, look at everything Brady had to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And then to not just be a decent quarterback. I mean, Wiggy, you were teammates with my buddy Drew Bledsoe.
Yes, I was.
You know, I mean, he was a very good quarterback.
Yep.
Not great. You know,
sucked in the postseason, though. Was not good in the postseason.
He had his moments.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the last game he played for the Patriots was a pretty big win.
Yes, against Pittsburgh.
But other than that, I mean, the run to the Super Bowl 96, he sucked.
He sucked?
He sucked.
I don't know if he sucked.
Yeah, John, he sucked.
Are you serious?
John, look up. He's one of the worst postseason quarterbacks in NFL history. Look up his postseason in 96.
You know what, Mark? Seriously, you know, it's not about stats. It's about wins.
Okay, well, they won in spite of him.
That Jacksonville team that he beat when he had the flu.
They won it because of Willie Big Play Clay, okay?
Willie Big, that was the only play in the game.
That's all right.
Jefferson for a huge first down conversion to get them into the scoring range. Really?
Well, Bledsoe.
Don't come at me with that.
By the way, Wiggy. Give me Bledsoe's playoff numbers.
All right. His playoff numbers, complete career. He's 3-3 in the post.
3-3, but yeah. What are the stats?
What are the stats?
Touchdowns, picks.
Touchdowns, 6 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
He sucked.
You know.
6 touchdowns, 12 picks. Hey, when you call in a show and you come at me, just come correct.
Yes, correct. His quarterback rating was...
What was it?
54.9.
Okay, thank you. What was his completion percentage?
Completion percentage was down there, 51.2.
Okay, 51.
He
sucked. Yeah, very good, Johnny. How do you do that so quickly? How do you do that?
It's literally the easiest thing in the world.
Okay, but...
We could turn audio around in like 2 seconds in this place.
Very good. So that, to me... When you 51% completion percentage, and I worked with a guy. You work with a guy at Nesson who's I won't mention his name on
very
the air.
Good.
He's a producer. He's a great producer. He thinks Bledsoe is better than Brady because he loves Bledsoe.
Bledsoe was a good quarterback.
Okay.
He just, you know, like you said, I think it was more of a playoff performance. Now, he didn't have a
6
huge,
touchdowns.
He didn't have a huge sample size.
6 touchdowns, 12 picks.
Right.
51% completion percent. He sucked
right.
in the playoffs.
Yeah, he wasn't very good in the
garbage.
Playoffs.
Drew garbage.
I think
in the
it
playoffs.
Was more about moments.
Got that, John? Drew garbage.
Garbage, though.
All right, final segment.
It's got to rhyme better.
See, Wiggy, the natural ones are much better.
Yeah, but
like he
even
said
that
yesterday.
One, though, it's got to rhyme better. Like, Drew, it's got to go with the Bledsoe, or it's got to go
how
with
about
the
this?
Drew.
How about this one?
I'll just change his last name.
How about this one? Drew, how about in the postseason, Drew Bledsoe.
Bledsoe.
Because he blew.
Okay.
All right, final segment. Good news on
Wouldn't
Teddy Bruschi
next. Bledsoe?
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Well, what happened July 4th was I went for a run, which I've been doing a lot lately. Recently completing the Boston Marathon, and I've sort of just run and become a part of my routine lately. So I went for a run down to the local high school, and I told my wife and I told my kids to meet me down there. So it's about 3.5 miles, and all of a sudden, my left hand just started feeling weak. And I was trying to set up, and I had this equipment bag with me, and I was pulling up the equipment bag from the ground to myself, and my left arm wasn't coming up. So I turned to my wife, and she looked at me, and I said, something not right, something's not right, and she couldn't understand what I'm saying. And she looked at my face, and the left side of my face was drooping. And we immediately knew what was happening. We called 911 right away, and the ambulance came to the field and picked me up, and then I was off to the hospital.
All right, that was Patriots Hall of Famer and current ESPN analyst Teddy Bruschi, who you won a Super Bowl with in 2001. To hear him talk about that, what's the first thing that goes to your mind?
Scary.
Yeah,
you know, you
scary.
Start to think about yourself, and you think about, you know, here's a guy that is in unbelievable shape. You know what I mean? Talk about he's ran marathons before, and you kind of just think about that, and like, you know, you're like, oh man, I got to get in shape, and you start to hear that. You know, the older you get, you know, the hotter things it becomes, and you know, you start to worry about that. But the thing you have to do, and I think, you know, Teddy is, you know, talks about it, you got to make sure you're getting checked out, you got to make sure you're doing all those things to, you know, monitor any situation, pre-existing situation that you might have, or maybe find something that you might not know.
Yeah, and obviously it's good that he's recovering. He's on the road to recovery, and he'll be back on
ES- He's on the new show now. Is it Sunday? Is it Sunday NFL Countdown, right?
Yeah.
Sunday Countdown. NFL Sunday Countdown.
That's good. So, and he's obviously really good on television. He does a great job. Yeah. He's on OMF all the time, so we'll hear him during football season.
I think that'll be a good – him and Randy Moss. I think it's him, Moss, and Hasselbeck.
Woodson, they're still
there? No, I don't think Woodson's there no more.
Oh, they got rid of Woodson.
Yeah, he's not there no more.
Can I tell you this? It's addition by subtraction. He wasn't that good.
I don't know. I
he wasn't that good.
I like
good,
Moss,
man.
Though. I like
oh, when I love he, Moss.
When Moss is Moss, when he's like the straight cash homie that I know.
Right.
And he's not like, don't try to be like, you know, robotic and feel like you just be loose and do what Moss does.
Right. Moss is great. And because Moss has that twang, you know, tell those stories.
He has that Southern West Virginia country boy swag
to him. And that's right. You play with him in Minnesota, right?
Yep.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah. Moss is
good dude.
Yeah, he's a good guy, man. And he's a Hall of Famer, too. You got it. But I like the thing. Listen, when you get up, Emmitt Smith found this out, Wiggy. Joe Montana found it out, Wiggy. Marcus Allen, Eric Dickerson. It ain't easy to get up there and just, you know, it's tough to convey the. You might have played the game at the highest level and been so successful. It's tough to convey the game to the masses.
But you
it's
just
tough
have,
to do
you
that.
You have to be yourself, right? And the
well,
whole
Brewski's well-read and prepared.
Brewski's good
he
at it.
He takes it seriously. Right. He goes into TV as if he's going into a Bill Belichick game plan on defense.
Right. You have to, but still, when you do all that, it's still be yourself, you know, and that's the biggest thing. You know, you're gonna have situations where you mess up words or you stumble what you're saying, but just go out there. Have fun. Be yourself. That's why I think Brewski does a good job.
Because
he's himself. He's the same guy that you would see hanging out. And if you ask him the question, he'd answer it the same way. The same way with Randy Moss. If you ask him, hey, who's the best quarterback you played with? He would answer it the same way you would hear him on the radio. And I think that's the biggest thing. Guys who do well, just they're being themselves.
Just like you. And you are yourself like you are every day. And you did a great job today. Tomorrow, Fitzy will be in with us.
That's right. Well,
3 hours.
Fitz
I want to thank
Schlitzy.
Lucy Burge and John Anderson. John Anderson, I'm still amazed at how you turn those drops around so quickly.
Quick, I think there's a machine back there.
Well,
it's 2019.
Whatever.
They just put him into a machine, and then all he has to do is hit a button.
How about this one, John? Ready?
Isn't that how it works, John?
Your final nickname, John?
Drew Garbage.
No. I got one better. Drew Dreadso, because he was dreadful.
Is that yours?
That I'm claiming it.
He's claiming it. So is, I guess
I'm claiming it.
So I guess it's
I
not
said
yours.
It on it. Drew Dreadso. What is that sound?
I love that sound.
What is that?
Like, you know,
like the hip hop.
Yeah, that's like, you know, DJ.
The rap air horn.
Yeah,
air
like horn. It's like the rap
air horn.
DJ's playing that. Right. It's like coming to the stage.
Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, we want to hear that song again. You know,
John, let's hear the rap air horn again. No. Yeah. All right, very nice. We'll be back tomorrow. Fitzy's in the house. We'll join us. We'll have some fun with him tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. Dale and Keith coming up next with Andy Hart. Have a great one.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.